Welcome to the Fisher of Men broadcast with Brother Mike Bronner from the Union Camp Missionary Baptist Church.
I was burdened down with sin. No happiness was found within. I never knew the meaning of joy down in my soul. When at last I finally knelt, contentment filled my soul like I never felt. Heaven came down, there was glory all around when He saved my soul.
I remember the day
when the Lord saved me.
All of heaven came down.
I was happy and free.
Glory filled my soul.
For I knew the Lord had made me whole. I shall never forget the day when the Lord saved me.
Now a life of peacefulness deep within my heart abides.
Since the day that Jesus took my sins away, and to heaven I will go to spend the endless ages while they ever roll, praising His name for the glorious day that He saved my soul.
I remember the day
when the Lord saved me.
All of heaven came down.
I was happy and free.
Glory filled my soul.
For I knew the Lord had made me whole. I shall never forget the day when the Lord saved me.
And I remember the day
when the Lord saved me.
All of heaven came down.
I was happy and free.
Glory filled my soul.
For I knew the Lord had made me whole. I shall never forget the day when the Lord saved me.
Hello again, this is Mike Bronner from the Union Camp Missionary Baptist Church. Thankful to be able to be back this way and have another opportunity to share a portion of the Word of God with you. So thankful to have your attention, or that you've tuned in, and don't know where that you may be as this message is going out. Some may be traveling down the road and they're vehicles, or some may be at home, or you may be considering this at a later date. Many go and listen to these later as we make mention at the end of the broadcast, the website where we provide links to this material, this information, these broadcasts. Whatever the time may be, your circumstance may be, as you're considering the message, I'm thankful that you've taken the time to consider what that's being brought. And it's not because that you're listening to us, or we're the messenger, the one trying to bring these thoughts. That's not what that makes this important. But what we try to share is the Word of God. And I hope and pray that as you do consider what that's being brought, and you'll prayerfully take up the Word of God, that is the Bible, and read and consider it for yourself. And as you do, I know that God in heaven, who interacts with us here on earth, that we, as the Bible tells us, that we in Him, we live and have our being, we live and dwell and have our being, Him being that close to us all, and that we, as we take up His Word, He wanting us to know, as He wants us to know the truth, and wants us to examine the truth for ourselves, that we might come closer to Him. I believe that as you consider the Word of God, that it'll be in your very heart as the Spirit touches you and reaches to help you to understand what thus saith the Lord as it's recorded in His Word. So I appreciate you tuning in, and I hope and pray that you will indeed prayerfully consider what's being delivered, that indeed the great goal of helping us all to come closer to the Lord would be accomplished. We want to pray, and then after we pray, we'll try to take up the thought that's on our heart. And if you, to where your circumstance is such, to where that you'd like to join with us, I'd like to invite you to pray with us at this time. And after prayer, we'll try to take up the thoughts on our heart. Let us pray. Holy and kind Heavenly Father, we're thankful again for your rich many blessings. Thank you, Lord, for your watch, care, and protection over us. Ask you, Lord, to help us as we've come along life journey, that we'd be found walking in that path that pleases thee, our God. Forgive us our sins. Forgive us our shortcomings. Father, you know that we're but flesh, and all too often allow ourselves to yield to the things which that are contrary to your good and perfect will. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy and long-suffering, allowing us the opportunity to repent. Lord, we ask indeed that you would strengthen us and direct us, that, Lord, as we do come along this journey toward home, ever how so many days that you might allow us to do so, Lord, we desire to not only to glorify thee, our God, but also to be helpful to those who we come in contact with, that if there be any who are wayward, any who that know thee not and with free pardon of sin, that they might see in us the grace and the great evidence of grace that you shed toward us through thy Son, and been turning toward thee that they might find that same grace. O Lord, today we ask you to direct our thoughts and help us, Lord, that we might indeed read the Word of God and consider those things that you set before us. Help us, Lord, to see how it applies to our life. And let us, Lord, have wisdom and an opening of our understanding, Father, that we might indeed overcome these things which allure and attract and yield evermore unto God. Lord, we pray again for thy people. Lord, in this day of coldness and complacency, Lord, we pray that there would be in your divine will, that, Father, that you would grant that there would be a revival and periods of awakening to your holy will. Help, Lord, the people of God to be found in prayer more often. Ye, Lord, direct and guide for thine own name's sake. Pray, Lord, again for our country. Pray you'd help her, for she stands in need of the help of God, being organized as she was. Lord, without the guidance and direction, yea, the intervention of your own hand, Father, how can we prosper? How can we go forward and be successful? So, Father, in your great mercy, would you hear and help us, Lord, help our nation, help our communities. For, Father, without thee, we know that we can do nothing good. Take and use now, bless, direct, according to that good and right in your sight. We know that it'll be that that's good for us. And, Father, where we fail to ask, fail not to grant. For we do seek all favors and blessings in Jesus' name. For his name's sake we do pray. Amen. We have some thoughts on our heart from over in the book of Matthew. This portion of the Word of God in Matthew is also recorded in the other Gospels, in Mark and Luke especially. We find this parable of the sower. We want to read some thoughts right in the middle of the parable of the sower. We might refer to a couple of the other places, or maybe at least one of the other gospels that also cites some of these points, just depending on how we feel like we need to address the thoughts and get them before us. The good thing about considering the gospels and each of the gospel accounts of any circumstance, any situation, is we're able to, as we not only read one of the gospel accounts, but read multiple gospel accounts, we're able to get more details. I hope that as you do read, that you'll not fall to that human circumstance of where we're not careful, we'll quickly say, well, there are contradictions in God's Word. That sometimes happens when you compare the records of different accounts through the Gospels. There are no contradictions in God's Word. And if you would do as so many down through history have done, continue to prayerfully consider the Word of God and continue to study, as you get more light upon subjects and more understanding of what is being recorded, the thing that may be seeming contradictory to you is cleared up. And then as it's cleared up, you see that it, rather than confusing a situation, the way that all of the Gospels are written, that they enlighten and give more detail and enrich what that we're reading about. So those things before you, we want to read from Matthew chapter 13 and begin reading with verse 10. Beginning with verse 10, then we find it written, "And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, Because it's given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it's not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing, see not, and hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they've closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see the things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower." We'll stop reading. This giving us a reading lesson out of Matthew chapter 13. We've read from verse 10 down through verse 18. I notice here that these scriptures record a conversation. It's a question that the disciples came and presented to the Lord Jesus Christ, and how that he answered and explained to them, gave them the answer to their question. The Lord had just presented a parable. And as you read the situation back up and get the history of it, you'll find that Jesus sat by the seaside, and there were great multitudes that came to him, insomuch that he went up into a ship and sat down, and the multitudes stood on the shore. And then it says he spake many things unto them in parables. And then we have the parable of the sower given, and right after he gives the parable of the sower to the multitude, that the disciples then come to him and ask him the question that we read. So on the one hand of the people present, you have on the one hand the multitude to whom the Lord spake the parable. On the other hand, you have the disciples of the Lord, these disciples, when they came to the Lord. Now, if we understand at this time, he's talking about these apostles who were accompanying the Lord during his personal ministry. And as he gets through with this parable, his disciples, these brethren, came to the Lord and asked him plainly, "Why speakest thou to them in parables?" I note that, as with all the Word of God, when did you get into trying to understand God's Word? I'm thankful today that the great God of heaven, he's not such as upbraids us when we ask for wisdom on our matters of life, especially wisdom trying to understand his Word. We go directly to him. ask him like these apostles asked the Lord. You see, this is the same one, this one who that these apostles went to and asked this question. He's the very same one who you and I should be talking to when we want to know what the Word of God means. So they went to him and asked him. And I notice here that he points out that there's a problem with the multitude. And this problem is that, of course, they heard the words which that the Lord spake. And they saw him standing there as he spake those words. There is more going on than just what meets the physical eyes, and more going on than what just meets the physical ears. In other words, there's deeper meaning. There's significance to the words that are being said, where that the Lord is using earthly things, such as this sower. Now you see, the Lord uses seed as his example. And then he describes different kinds of circumstances that when these seed are sown, they fall into four different kinds of circumstances. And each of these circumstances are things which we, after a physical sense, we can understand and see how that the seed, see the success of the seed. In other words, if the seed's successful, it grows into a plant, it germinates, it sprouts into a plant and then grows strong and produces fruit. These different four circumstances, these four different circumstances, they directly relate to the success that the seed will have. And now the people there hearing that, they heard his presentation, and they saw what he's saying about these different kinds of ground, and it's essentially it would no more than what this multitude got out of this. If they didn't get to the deeper spiritual meaning of this matter, in other words, if they just leaned to their own understanding, they would probably walk away thinking that they just got a lesson on how to plant a garden or how to raise a crop. But when these brethren, these apostles, came to the Lord and asked, why do you speak to them this way? Why, he said that they think they see, therefore they're blind. They think they hear, therefore they're deaf. They don't really see, they don't really hear. And he said the reason is, he said what's happened is, this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed. So even though they think they know what's going on, in their pride of just thinking that they know what's going on, they have deafened themselves. They have blinded themselves through their lack of willingness to come to Jesus. My radio friend, I want you to hear and keep this on your heart, that for us to understand God, we've got to have a relationship with God. God speaks to us of spiritual matters, but we are, as Paul described us over in the book of Romans, we're carnal, sold under sin. We came forth from the womb, conceived into iniquity, came forth from the womb after the old nature of the flesh, speaking lies is what the way the Bible describes it. We use our mouths for things which are, and God never intended for us to use our mouths to do the things uttered, the things said. All coming back to, though, a condition of the heart. For of the abundance of the heart is what the mouth speaks in the first place. So the Lord says, there'll be this way, and they'll stay this way, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Now hear what Jesus says about us all. He said this about these multitudes, and he's explaining this to his disciples, making a difference between the multitudes and the disciples. His disciples had been healed by him. His disciples had come to him and been converted. The multitudes had not. So to the multitudes, they remained in that condition of being blind, of being deaf, yes, fully being able to hear the things of the world, being able to see the things of the world, but ignorant of the things of God, deafened to them, blind to them, all because of an unwillingness to yield, humble their own heart unto the Lord. They had a form, perhaps a godliness, but denied the power thereof. You must have help from he who has the power to change our heart, open our understanding. The Bible, the Word of God, is a spirit-inspired book, and until we're spirit-born, we are unable, we lack spiritual help needed to have this book and its meanings opened unto us. So understanding is held back. Think with me on another occasion where the Apostle Paul, writing to the Corinthians, he's explaining about the old covenant, about the law given from God by the hand of Moses to the children of Israel. And Paul's saying that the men and women in his day, all those centuries after the law had been given from God by Moses, all those hundreds of years had expired. And Paul, writing to the Corinthians, explains to these brethren there at Corinth how that these, even these Jews, those people who knew of a fleshly sense that they were descendants from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they knew they stood in that lineage after the flesh. But what they were failing to see is he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, neither is he a Jew which has circumcision in the flesh, but a Jew is a Jew who is one inwardly, and that circumcision is in the heart, in the spirit, whose praise is not of men, but of God. You see, when we set out to please God, we're going to yield ourselves to him. We're going to see there's but one mediator between God and man. We're men, so there's just one mediator between us and God, and that's the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all of us to be testified of in due time. That to be testified of calls our attention to the scriptures that tells us that every knee should bow and every mouth should confess of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth, and that all mouths would profess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Why? But why should we kneel ourselves to him? Why should we profess that he is Lord? Why? Because he paid our cost. And if one, that is Jesus, died for all of us, then all of us must have been in a dead state. The sentence of death must have hung on us all, inasmuch as he, by the grace of God, was allowed to taste death for all of us, then all of us must have had the sentence of death on us. But he tasted death and overcame death so that we could escape death and taste life. Well, life which comes through Christ from God. Now listen, here's 2 Corinthians chapter 3. These Jews who the Corinthians had encountered, why they saw that they didn't understand what they were hearing. That is, they didn't even understand the very law which God had given to them. That is, the Jews didn't understand the very law. The Corinthians, they, on the other hand, they'd been healed. Healed like the Lord said. When anybody comes to Him, any of us come to the Lord today, the same healing is there to be found. So Paul, writing to these Corinthians, said this. He said that these people standing before Moses, as Moses had the law in his hand, why, they couldn't look upon the glory of this law, the law. So when he had the law and the very glory of the law upon him, it says unto Moses, he put a veil over his face that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. That's meaning this. The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Grace superseded the law. Paul asked in another place, do I make null the law? He said, God forbid, I established the law. But where the covenant under the law was replaced by the covenant which Christ made with the church. Let me move on. He said, but their minds were blinded, for unto this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in reading the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, that is, when their heart shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now, the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Well, the old heart has a veil on it. You think about what this blinded, these blinded hearts, that is, hearts without understanding, hearts which have not come to the Lord to receive this healing which we referred to earlier. This is like having that veil, that is like trying to see through a curtain. You get the images, you get outlines and patterns, but that's as much understanding as you get. You about walk away like these others, these multitudes in that crowd, hearing that parable about the sower, thinking maybe the Lord's giving us a lesson on some type of morality or a lesson on ethics or some other type of good lesson, but never seeing the profound spiritual matters because of the blindness of your heart. Oh, but if it'll turn to the Lord who is right nearby, when that heart turns to the Lord, oh well, there's understanding awaiting, healing from God on high. Our time swiftly coming gone. Hope something's been said, it's been helpful. If so, you be careful to thank the Lord for that, because it's to Him we look for our guidance in all things. May God richly bless you and yours. Would be our
thanks
prayer.
For joining us for this week's Fisher of Men broadcast. If you'd like additional information or to download a copy of this week's message, go to fisherofmenbaptistic.com. All materials and recordings are provided free of charge and may be distributed as the Lord leads.